Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz here on Thanksgiving Tuesday. Elliot Shore Parks joins us as he does every Tuesday at 3. Elliot's appearance brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Hello, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Never a boring
day. Never, ever, ever.
Never boring.
Nope.
You would say, oh, they won the Super Bowl. They're 8-3. Should be pretty boring. Nope.
Well, good news. Hard Knocks is starting this week. So
yes.
It's only about to get to another level of distraction.
They were filming us last night. Were they filming you guys? Yeah. Did you talk to them?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
All right. They
didn't film the Players Lounge specifically.
Wow.
So like, no, but they got the end of our show.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they got some of the afternoon show.
Oh, there you go.
I do think, now that I know they'll be filming there, I have to make sure I really, dress nicely.
Well, Jordan came in with this.
Yeah, Jordan was dressed up.
Lower Marion Kobe varsity jacket.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? Oh, now I see what's going on.
Normally it's the team sweats,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Hey, got to be camera ready.
Yes. Exactly right. Yeah, smart. And I'm hoping after, the appearance on Hard Knocks that I will go national.
Yeah.
I will be a big star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll be very kind to us.
Carry the show with you.
No, come on, man.
The people were right.
Yeah. My show. I said that very early. Elliot. So we open up the show. I'm thinking about Jalen, and I'm thinking about the offense.
Yeah.
And I said he should run more. I think he should run 8 or 10 times a game. And the reason I'm thinking is if you were to give what are Jalen's best attributes, I think everybody would get to running pretty quick. I said top three, probably. We talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last year about how that was advantageous to Saquon, his ability to run. When you go back to 22, he ran 165 times in 15 games. And I understand saving him, but I sort of think they're in this spot now that if they don't do something for the offense, that we could unravel a little bit. What are your thoughts on Jalen running more?
I would be fine with it. I think it would be a smart thing for them to do. I do think it would help open up the offense. I also think it would help keep plays on track. I think when you drop him back a ton, it does throw the offense off in terms of timing. I don't know if a strength of his is playing on time. And so I think when you have designed running plays, those just go. So I think it would help the offensive line. I think it would help Saquon. And I also think it might help Jalen get in a bit of a rhythm. I mean, I think Jalen is definitely a player that plays with emotion, and I know he doesn't show it on his face all the time, but I think if he were to have big plays early, it would help him. So I don't think that would solve the offensive problems. I think there is something else that would clearly fix it, but I do think that would help.
You said you think there's something else that would clearly fix it?
Well, I think the penalties. Like, I think I'm not saying schematically. I think if
how about running the football?
I don't think they'd be able to run the football. So I think agree. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think they can stop getting penalties. They've been undisciplined all year long.
Yeah, but I think that's easier to do than it is to start running the football at a high level.
Yeah.
I'm not equating it to turnovers as much because I do think turnovers is the ultimate indicator of winning. But if you were to tell me they would get 3 or less penalties in every game the rest of the year, I would feel very, very good about their chances of going to the Super Bowl. I don't think the problems on offense are schematic, or I just think it's the penalties. I mean, they were 2 or 3 penalties away from this past Sunday of putting up 30 plus points
easily
against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the main problem. The main problem is not being able to run the ball.
No, I think the main problem is the penalties.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, I think if it wasn't for the penalties, now it is both to an extent, but if they were not penalized as much, they would be scoring, I think, at least another touchdown to 10 points a game.
10 points a game.
Well, think about this pass game, right? They had the big play to Devontae that got them to the 12. They're the number one red zone offense in the league. I think it's a bit skewed because they don't get there a ton, but they are very good in the red zone. So I think they could have scored there. That's 7 points. Jake Elliott missed a kick. That's not penalty related, but that's another 3 points right there. They at the beginning of the third quarter, they had that 20-yard play to Goddard that got pulled back. There's games all year against the Packers. Jalen fumbled it in the red zone, not a penalty, but a self-inflicted wound. Like,
but that's I know you're right.
I was just thinking of instances they blew in the red zone there.
Yeah.
But the penalties have absolutely hurt them. And I think if they were not penalized as much, you would see the offense play better overall, including the running game.
I think to Ike's point about just solving it, and you said three less penalties a game. That I think they're at 7.4.
No, I said if they got three penalties or fewer per game, I would feel real.
Oh, well, there's no chance. I mean, that's cutting it in half.
And that's my concern. Yeah. I don't know if they can do it. I just think that's the biggest problem.
Hmm.
And that's what I think is tough to gauge them, because I think at their best, they can beat any team in the NFL, but I also think they've gotten to a point where they could lose to any team. Like, I don't know if there's a single opponent right now. We're going into it. I would say they are definitely winning this game.
Now this is where the running game has contributed to the success of this team in years past. And I know they can't run the football now. And if they can't get that fixed, then maybe we're going to have to rethink our expectations. Because we can wish and hope that Jalen becomes this thrower every week that's going to throw us to wins. We know that's realistically not going to happen. You need the complementary running game. This team's most successful years under Nick Sirianni has been with a top rushing football team. And I understand some of those years he was a part of that. He's a little bit older, and he's more injuries away from where he ran as frequently as he did in 2022. You think about the injuries that he's had, they've all come on quarterback-designed runs. The one in Chicago, the one that happened up in New York, the concussion last year in Washington, all of these things are come on quarterback-designed runs where you're giving the team more opportunities to hit him, and eventually it's going to add up. He's gotten away with some, but eventually he's going to get caught with a shot, and now you're dealing with not having the guy out there.
So I do think
I know that some people may think that's not all bad, but I'm not one of those people.
They clearly have a better chance to win with Jalen in there right now than Tanner McKee. I don't even think that's a debate right now. I think Jalen has experience that Tanner does not. So from a running perspective, though, you're right that he has been injured on designed runs. Mm-hmm. I still think if you watch other quarterbacks around the league run, Jalen is very smart at the end of runs. He does not often take big hits. And you think about other quarterbacks they've had, like Vic. Vic never was a quarterback that slid. And you know, for years we talked about, well, they can teach him how to do it. Carson, same thing. I just think some quarterbacks have it in them to do it. Jackson Dart, I don't think he'll ever be a quarterback that slides. They're talking about it up in New York. Jalen is a quarterback that I think is very smart about how he treats his body at the end of runs. Now, he's been hurt, and it happens.
At times,
but I still think, I don't think he is reckless.
Sometimes he
can't. No, you're right. Sometimes
he can't. I'm not saying he's reckless. I'm just saying.
It happens,
The law averages, eventually he's going to get caught with one of those from a safety coming down here or a big lineman falling on him, separates his shoulder, whatever it may be. Like, it doesn't have to be him being reckless. It's just you're putting him in harm's way more times than he needs to be put in harm's way.
Yeah, I do think it would really
run him 10 times a game?
Yeah, I would be fine with that. I mean, look, you're putting him at risk, and I get it, but ultimately you're going to be at risk in a football game, and it would help the offense. It would help the offense.
Ultimately, he's going to be at risk.
It would be. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing as Saquon with the going for the record, right? Like, I was willing to risk Saquon.
Saquon's a running back at 235 pounds that's accustomed to taking contact, albeit not this year.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, he doesn't take a lot of contact this year, but he's still a running back.
Yeah. No, I agree, but it would really help the Eagles' offense if Jalen became a running threat again.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And if he does it and he's successful, I'm clapping. All I'm saying is, my heart's in my throat the more often you do that. Because I'm simply yelling, get down, get the first down, get down. Don't get hit. Don't take a shot. Like, anything can happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. No team out there with the aspirations that the Eagles have is saying, let's run the quarterback more. Maybe Buffalo. Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Now, he is bigger than Jalen.
No other team. Like, even Baltimore doesn't do that anymore. They want to keep Lamar Jackson healthy.
Yeah.
So, like, teams, when you got that guy there, they aren't doing it. Baltimore doesn't run Lamar. They want to keep him healthy.
No, yeah. 215-592-9494. We will continue with Elliot right after Ike tells you about meat. What?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
fall is upon us, and that means tailgating at Eagles football games.
Being honest.
Yeah, you are. You are. Fire up your grill with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles from Dietz & Watson. Be the hitting up barbecue or tailgate with game day essentials like hot dogs, sausages, meats, and, of course, artisan cheeses from Dietz & Watson. Don't forget about the high-protein Dietz nuts. Meat snacks, perfect for snacking on the go. Dietz & Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939. Check them out online at DietzandWatson.com for a retailer near you. And remember, go Birds! Hold on. Before you start up, I want you to realize I did that without taking my glasses off.
The eyesight's heating up?
Yeah.
Not really. That's a shorter read. That's a shorter read. I can get through that one.
So, Elliot, it is two questions on the blackout for Friday. So it's a blackout. They're wearing black uniforms. They're asking everybody to wear black.
Yeah.
The first thing is, are you going to wear
all black? So I did have my suit. I already got it dry cleaned and everything, but should I go to I don't have a black suit. I only have a black tux.
Get a black suit.
Which is before Friday.
You want a black suit to the game?
No, he's suggesting it because of the blackout. And I like the idea. Now, I could do a black shirt and a black tie.
Yeah, I'm wearing all black.
And black pants.
I'm wearing all black. I'm wearing a black hoodie.
Well, now I might feel left out.
It's going to be cold as hell.
Come on, man. You look so cool. All those other sloppy beat writers there, you know, and you rolling up.
You're convincing me.
In all black?
Yeah.
All black tie?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Come on, man.
I'll have to think about it.
The one thing I want to do is I want to do the Elliot walk-in like they do with Devontae.
Yes!
I think the Eagles would take, you know, I'll go to the player side and just walk through.
Tweet the photo out. Just see what their responses are.
Yeah.
Nice. Just come to the media entrance and get everybody that comes in.
Get all the beat writers. Yeah.
Dude, that would, a message from us to the Eagles social team. You guys getting all the media coming in and their different
fits. It would crush on social.
Yes, it would absolutely crush.
I can imagine the comments on that.
Oh, it would be amazing. Yeah. You kidding? Slow motion, slow motion.
Take my glasses off as I walk.
Around the corner.
Yeah.
And you got to get Jason Dumas to.
Shoes untied.
You got to Jason Dumas to retweet it and talk about what your sneakers are.
Yes.
Because that'll work. And then, you know, we are giving away a Black Eagles hoodie today. We're asking everybody, you know, their best duo. If I say, give me a famous duo, what's the first one that pops up?
So for some reason, Casey and JoJo popped in my head right off the
bat. That's a good one.
Yeah. Casey and JoJo, look at you.
Those two songs back in the day.
All
my life was banger.
Yeah. 215.
I think it was a prom song for me.
215-592-9494. Omar in West Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Omar?
Hey, what's going on, man? Listen, I need my 3X, I need my hoodie, you know, right now. And
what you got?
My duo is Miami Vice, man. You got to give it to me.
You got to say their names.
Come on.
The characters?
Yes!
Yes.
Don Johnson?
No, give me the character.
Is it John Johnson?
Don. So the actors are Philip Michael Thomas and Don Johnson, but who are the characters?
Come on.
Sonny.
Yeah, come on, man.
You got one.
Jesus. Crockett and Tubbs.
All right, Omar. On to the Eagles. We'll give you half credit for that one.
Hey, listen, man. We just got to roll them out, right? The design runs, you just got to move the pocket for them. But we got to save it for the playoffs. It's like we got to move them around. When that pressure comes, we got to talk to them. Like, if that pressure's coming from one side, you just got to roll over to the other side.
But give him a little more run pass option stuff.
Yeah, the RPOs is always good. Like the RPOs, you always can move him around, but it got all kind of come out of like under center. Like you got to put him under center a little bit more, roll him out to one other side, and then like I said, we can know where that pressure is coming from, and then we just move him to each side. And like I said, he's going to be all right. But we got to save him for the playoffs. Like those runs got to come in the playoffs.
All right, Omar. Thank you for the call.
The only issue with the playoff thing is, I mean, Friday is a borderline must-win game. Like, it is pretty critical.
I was going to ask you that. I don't want to bring up 2020.
A must-win game for what?
The Eagles.
To do what?
To beat the Bears. I'm saying on Friday.
Oh, to do
to like keep this season rolling, to not have this thing get ugly, to like not worry about a collapse.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring up 23. Yeah. I guess my question was, could this season, if they don't win on Friday,
but I think it's fine to bring up 23. I mean, that's the last.
No, it's not.
Well, I think it is because that's the last year they came off the Super Bowl. If you look at the seasons where they after they played in the Super Bowl, like we would agree, 04, 17, 22, and 24 were probably the best Eagles teams we've seen, right?
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that the year after has been ugly.
Oh,
and,
I agree.
Right. So I'm saying the most recent season that feels like this one is without question 23. And so my worry is if they lose on Friday, this thing starts to unravel a little bit.
Why?
Because I've seen it happen before.
Yeah, you know, but no, I'm not, that's sort of a surfacey answer. I'm asking, like, why is it going to unravel?
So I don't know. I don't know what the issue in 23 was. They didn't have something to lean on.
They weren't
right?
together.
They weren't together. And I think they are more together this year. I do.
Then they shouldn't unravel.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know what they have to lean on.
No, it's simple. It's simple. If they are a close-knit football team, pulling in the same direction, losing Friday should not cause them to unravel. There are still 5 games left after that. A close-knit football team rallies together, pulls together, and go and beat the team. These are inferior opponents that they're playing. Washington, the Raiders, the Chargers.
Yeah, but that's what we said in 23.
No, this is my point, Elliot.
Right.
I'm telling you, if you're right, it's because it's a team that's not together. They aren't. You can't tell me on one hand this is a close-knit team. They're pulling in the same direction. And the moment any adversity comes up, they're pointing the finger. No one's looking in the mirror. We're looking for escape routes. The season is going to unravel at 8-4?
I would say this, too.
That's not a team that's close.
If Nick Sirianni has 2 collapses under his belt, that's a pretty harsh condemnation of him as a culture guy.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would also say, I don't think they're going to go 1-7 or whatever they did. Like,
well, you
that,
keep telling me it's 2023.
But I'm saying, would it shock you if in the next 6 games, they went 3-3?
Yes!
It would not shock me. I wouldn't pick it, but it would not shock me. They're 4-3 in their last 7 games. They're barely a
they're
500 team.
They're 4-1 in their last 5 games.
Right, but I'm saying over their last 7, they're 4-3.
Yeah, and I can choose to look at the last 5.
Right, I'm picking the last 7.
5-3 in their last 8.
You got a point you're trying to make.
Yeah, I am.
I'm trying to say in their most 11. Recent 5 games.
But I'm saying after that first month of the season and since their first loss,
all of that.
They have,
understand
yeah.
This is what I'm saying. If you're correct, my point is that this is a team that is going to finally show its true colors. This is not a close-knit football team. I've been on teams that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it's like to rally together and pull yourself out of the doldrums. Teams that aren't close-knit, that are bickering and fighting behind the scenes, they're not invested enough in the team to do the things that's required to rally and overcome adversity. That's what I'm saying.
So I
that's
agree.
What I'm saying. That's what it's going to show. If you're right, and they lose Friday, right? Say they lose Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow this tanks to 2023. Yeah, 2023 was a team that was not close-knit. They didn't like each other. They pointed fingers. They blamed each other. They replaced this guy, replaced that coach. They did all type of stuff, right? If this happens with this team, it's the same reasoning for me. It's the same reasoning. There's at the first sign of adversity, you don't start to run. You say, hold on, we see the storm coming. Let's lock arms. We're in this thing together. Now, that's not what they are. That's not what they are. But you can't try to sell me that this is what we are. And when the adversity comes, everybody is scattering and pointing fingers and things are unraveling. I'm not buying that.
I agree.
I'm not buying that.
I agree with you on that. And yeah. I do think this team, from what I know as of now, right, seems tighter than the 23 team. That being said, there is finger pointing happening. There is, right?
A true test of how close you are is when things aren't going well, do you stick together?
But do you think this team has done that this year?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean? I'm telling you, if that's what the case is, I'm saying they got a chance to change that.
Okay, all right.
That's the point that I'm making. Okay. They got a chance to change that.
I agree with you on that, but I also think another reason this has potential for them not to to go 6-0 or 5-1 is because I don't think they have something to lean on offense to help them consistently win games.
Well, the thing I'd say is there are different kinds of 3-3 over the next six games. There is an unravel 3-3, and there is a we're fighting through this, we're just not that good this year.
Yes,
3-3.
Sure.
And there is a world where they end up 11-6, and we're not all saying, wow, what a collapse.
Yeah.
We'll bitch and moan over them going 3-3, but it's not another report.
Exactly. And that's the point I'm making, Spike.
Yeah.
The messaging coming out of the locker room needs to be more unified, is my point.
Yeah.
Meaning we go down together. If this is what we are, we're fighting our best, we're doing our best. Our best just isn't good enough. But it's us. But if it's him, it ain't me, it's him, that's not a unified team.
I agree with you on that.
That's not a unified team.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, two pieces of audio we need Elliot's opinion on. First, Peter Schrager on the offense.
Speaking of finger pointing.
And why the offense
this is what I'm talking about.
Doesn't look as good. And speaking of finger pointing, some media fighting at Vic Fangio's press conference that had nothing to do with Elliot, but we have to get Elliot's insight on the media bickering with each other.
Man. It was, and this is why no one likes me down there.
Well, I said when Jack sent me the audio, I said, "Oh, we have to put Elliot in an uncomfortable situation."
Absolutely,
ask him about it,
dude. Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yeah,
this is causing some infighting.
Yeah, we have caused a lot of pointing fingers. It's about me. It's the disease of me with the Eagles Insider.
With the writers too.
Yes. Wow, there's a lot of toxicity that old move care.
And also, we'll figure out what the hell's going on with the secondary, which is this game is on Friday, so they got to figure that out soon. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I've been talking about my friends at the Scott Auto Group, where I bought my first car, my current car. And we just got a used car from the Scott Auto Group. Love my family with the Scott Auto team. Get ready to celebrate the holidays in style with the Kia Season of New Tradition sales event. Right now, you can lease the all-new 2025 Kia Sportage Hybrid EX all-wheel drive for $255 a month. Or the all-new 2025 Kia Telluride S for $265 a month for 24 months. Check out Scott Kia Springfield or the newly opened Scott Kia of Limerick, where it's always smooth sailing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no.
Come on, man. Brooks and Dunn.
No.
Brooks and Dunn, best duo in the history of country music.
No.
Learn your facts.
Also,
I have heard of Brooks and Dunn. Oh, my bad. I have heard of him.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, I thought that sounded okay, but Jack texted me and asked for a country song.
Well, yeah, I didn't like
it. And didn't play it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, what'd you pick?
Cruise Remix featuring Nelly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what that
featuring
is.
Nelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nelly went country at the end. Yeah.
Did. I remember.
Tim McGraw run there in like 2005-ish.
That was a good song.
My Place, not really country, but same time.
The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Engagement season is here. Let the pros at Mark's Jewelers help you select the ring of your dreams and on budget. Online at marks-jewelers.com. People are crazy, man. Should the Eagles bring in Doug Peterson to be as an offensive consultant right now?
That's a great idea.
64.2% say yes.
So I've actually come around little bit.
God. I'm out.
I do not think the coaches are the problem, but I am deep enough in the season that I am not against the idea of bringing in, not Doug, or just somebody that could get a fresh set of eyes on things. That's what I wanted heading into the season. I don't think Petula's been bad, but I thought this is exactly what it would look like if you just promoted from within. So they've done it before. They brought Fangio in 1 year.
On one hand, you're saying you don't think he's been bad, but then you're saying this is exactly what I thought would happen.
Exactly.
Well, if Kevin Petula and Nick Sirianni are good coaches, don't you think they would forget about bringing somebody in some official capacity? Aren't they calling one of their trusted confidants and say, hey, can you take a look at this for me? Tell me if you see
maybe.
It. Or maybe they see it.
I just don't see a negative in it anymore. As long as they're on board with it. Now, that would be the key part. I don't want this guy walking in where Nick and Kevin don't want him there. But I don't think it would hurt to have a fresh set of eyes that might be able to say, hey, I know you're doing it this way, but I've always done it this way. What do you think of that?
So speaking of which, Peter Schrager was talking about the simplistic offense that we've been yelling and screaming about. Here is what he had to say.
Here's what I'll say about Kevin Petula. He comes from that Frank Reich tree. He comes there from Nick Sirianni.
What?
When he was with Phil Rivers and they were with the Colts, they used to throw the ball all over the yard. And Sirianni and Reich likes to throw the ball. They used to do motion. You're not seeing any of it. You're seeing basically, can AJ and Devontae go one-on-one? Can they make their plays? Can Saquon break a tackle? And that's the offense. This is not a guy who just woke up and was handed the job here. This is a guy who's had a career learning about offenses and designing offenses. And I don't think it's necessarily by design that this is the offense that it is. It seems like maybe this is what he thinks is their best chance to win, given what they've got at the quarterback spot and what they've got going with offense. Like, trust me, he knows how to do all the stuff that we see, all the bells and whistles. They're not even trying it. So that's the red flag to me. Like, why not give this offense a chance to do something creative? Why not give this offense a chance to run some of the exotic stuff that his offenses have run before?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where I always end up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always been simple. It's always been simple.
Yeah, it was simple when Shane Steichen ran the offense. Yeah. It's always been simple.
And to be fair, they have been, a top 10 offense every year, pretty much. So, like, it's not like they have been really bad this year. They're not normally this bad. Even 2023,
this is the worst offensive line.
But
it's also the worst offensive line.
Agreed. I think that is obviously a huge part of it. A lack of a running game, like Ike said, is a huge part of it, yeah, for sure.
And listen, while I'm not sitting here trying to blame Kevin Petullo for everything, the idea, if I'm reacting to Peter Schrager's report there and what he's saying, they coach Phillip Rivers. First of all, you coach Phillip Rivers in year, what, 17 or 18? Yeah. How much did you change for Phillip Rivers? Phillip Rivers by then understands offense completely. He's a pure pocket quarterback. It's much easier to assimilate him in an offense that doesn't have to change a whole lot. Who was there before Phillip Rivers?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Another pocket thrower,
yep,
you know, with some athletic ability. And by the way, Phillip Rivers threw 24 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. It's not like he threw 40 touchdowns eight interceptions. He didn't.
And I don't think they won a playoff game.
Yeah, they didn't lead the league in passing or anything of that nature.
No, I think the point mostly from Schrager is they weren't running four guys all running hitch routes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he understands. That is where I end up,
is this more, to me, the issue is, why are you calling the play in this instance with four hitch routes? All the other routes aren't hitch routes. The throws down the field to Devontae, the slant to A.J. Brown, those aren't hitch routes. So I'm seeing other play calls being made. Let's not act like everything they run from a passing standpoint is five-yard hitches.
Agreed.
The real issue is, in a critical situation, why is that the play you're going
to? So I think it's because that's what the play, like the quarterback, honestly, is probably most comfortable running. So when it's a big play,
okay, and they don't want to turn the ball over in that particular situation,
right,
too.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you run the simple, you see what I'm saying, though? Like, there's other plays that aren't hitch routes that he's obviously throwing and making.
I will say, though, a lot of the reporting you hear about, like, why the offense looks the way it does, does blame Jalen. I would just say the coaches better be right that Jalen either doesn't want to do this other stuff or can't do it. Because I think it's a little unfair for it always to be like, they do it because Jalen can't do it. They do it because Jalen can't do it. And I do think that is why. But maybe they have to try to get Jalen out of his comfort zone more. Like, I don't know.
You don't think they've tried that in
practice? No, I'm sure they have. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have. They definitely have.
So on the you gave him, what, a C on the first
one? I gave him a C- on the first one, and I knocked him down to a D.
A D on the rewatch.
Yes.
Why? So, as a...
Yeah, and I actually felt better after rewatching the game. What made you look... How did you rewatch the game?
I actually came away less impressed with the start of the game as well. He was good at the start, for sure. I think Jalen's accuracy has really taken a step back this year.
Go ahead.
Well, even the touchdown to AJ, right? And you can say this is nitpicking.
But
the touchdown...
It was behind him.
The touchdown to AJ is behind AJ and up high. There is nobody within 5 yards in front of AJ. That could have been a way easier throw.
Let me ask you this. How was Jalen's view? Was it obstructed?
Did he have
somebody in his lap?
So it looked to me like he had maybe someone... He sidestepped to the right a little bit, but I thought he could still have made a better throw.
That's easy for you to say.
Well, of course. My
point is that I have issue with quarterback's accuracy if they're standing there with the ability to throw the ball and it's not being obstructed. You know, quarterbacks have to make throws with guys in their lap.
Agreed.
Guys hitting their arm when they throw the ball. All of those types of things affect accuracy. I got issue with their accuracy if you don't have any pressure at your feet, you didn't have to reset your feet, and you're just standing there and you miss a throw.
Yeah, so I agree with you on that. My initial watch, and I'd have to rewatch again, is thinking that he was not impacted by the throw. But if I rewatched it, maybe I'll see it that way. But there have been throws this year. Let's talk about
this game specifically.
Okay, so this game as well.
Yeah.
I thought there was the deep pass to Devontae. Devontae obviously had to make a huge adjustment to go and get it. There was a big pass to Goddard down the field in the first half. I thought he overthrew. There's just been too many times this year where it feels like there have been throws Jalen normally makes that he doesn't make. And one thing I think hurt the offense this past Sunday is when we're going to say, why can't they move the ball consistently? Why isn't Petullo getting guys open? I'm not saying guys are open all the time, but there are enough times through watching him all year on Sunday where guys are open and he just flat out misses them.
Yeah, I think the Green Bay game, I saw that.
The Calcaterra throw in the Green Bay game.
I've seen it. I'm not saying that you're wrong, that it never happens. I just think for a guy who completes almost 70% of his passes, I don't know how inaccurate he can be. I mean, he actually had a perfect game throwing the football. Yes, you're going to miss some throws.
Agreed,
You're going to miss some throws. Every quarterback does. I watch it every Sunday.
Yep.
I watch Brock Purdy, who 1 year led the NFL in QBR and quarterback rating, overshoot guys left and right last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to miss throws at times. Now, it doesn't mean to me that that's a major issue with him. I don't think his accuracy has been an issue.
Now, from a completion percentage, he's actually down. I think he's around 65% this year.
Yeah, and if you look at his like on target percentage, that is also
more this year.
Yeah, so he does. It is a misconception they don't take deep shots. He does take a lot of deep shots, and I think his deep ball accuracy is still good. I thought early in the year it was elite. I don't think he's been as good at it this year. His on target throw is the lowest since 2020. So like overall, just in terms of hitting guys where it's supposed to be, I don't think he's been as good as he normally is. Because I did come into the year thinking he was a very accurate passer. So I think that's been part of it. But here's the other reason why I knocked him down to a D. If the offense is terrible for 2.5 quarters, Jalen has to catch blame for that. I mean,
why?
Because he's the quarterback. Like all last year, in many games this year, I have said when they win, Jalen played winning football, right? Even if his numbers weren't great, he didn't turn the ball over, those type of things. Jalen has a huge say in what play is run. He has a huge say on where the ball goes. And for 2.5 quarters, the offense didn't get in the red zone. Uh-huh. That is on Jalen. If I'm going to give him credit when they win.
Hold on. When you watch the game, that's what you felt.
I felt that Jalen deserved blame for part. I mean, he took the sack on 3rd and 2.
I'm talking about 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, I'm saying I thought Jalen did not play well for 2.5 quarters.
I rewatched the same game. I'm telling you, I felt better.
What did you feel? I'm curious what you felt better
about. I felt better that most of his throws that he didn't complete, he was impacted by the rush somehow. And then he had 4 or 5 throws that he actually completed that were called back and nullified because of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Dime throws that he made. The throw he made to A.J. Brown. I don't know how many times he's made that throw this year where he hits A.J. on the slant on time. We talk about him
anticipation
and being on rhythm. I thought he was doing a lot of those things very well. What happened is they became so predictable that now the defense is just sitting back waiting on you to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
There is no real complexity to your offense that makes the defense have to think more. There's no pre-snap motion. There's nothing. We call it eye candy. There's nothing that makes the defense have to adjust to put you in a good position. Now, some could say that's Jalen because he doesn't like doing that type of stuff. And that's fair. If that's what you believe, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying when I'm watching that game, I didn't have the same negative feeling that I had initially watching the game. I thought he played a relatively good game where he could have very easily threw for 350 some yards. As a matter of fact, you know, Dak was fortunate because Dak threw 3 interceptions easily in that game. And his numbers would have looked completely different. That's me.
All right. We'll continue this after.
That's me.
So Friday is Black Friday. It's Black Friday at Colonial Hyundai with the Carzar. Now, Black Friday could be stressful or Black Friday could be like Colonial has. And Colonial is going to make it not stressful. Starting 8 a.m. on Friday, you can save up to $12,000 on any new Hyundai in stock. And on Friday, when you buy that brand new Hyundai, drive away with a $1,000 gift card to spend however you want. They're not going to tell you how to spend it. You want to spend it on gifts for the holidays? Fine. You want to spend it on yourself? That's fine, too. So head over, Colonial Hyundai, Black Friday, over 200 brand new Hyundais in stock, the biggest incentives of the year, up to 12 grand you can save on any new Hyundai in stock, plus a $1,000 gift card with your purchase. Take advantage of it now. Also, buy with no money down. Finance with rates as low as 0% for up to 60 months. Black Friday only. 12 grand off any new Hyundai and a $1,000 gift card with your purchase. Online, you can go to ColonialHyundai.com 24/7. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy Hyundai. Offers can't be combined. $1,000 gift card at dealer-listed price on new vehicles. See store for details. All right, so, Elliot,
yes.
you had, during Vic Fangio's press conference last week, a bit of a controversy.
Yes.
In that you told John McMullen, pipe down, I'm talking.
Not in those words.
Well,
but
essentially.
Yeah.
And Vic Fangio.
You had mentioned, as a coach.
Ooh, he kind of put you in your place there. Yeah. Go ahead.
Vic Fangio got some sassy
Vic with
Elliot.
The commentary. Yeah.
Hey. So today, there was more, and it sounded, yours did not sound nasty. It sounded like I got a little nasty today. So here's what happened.
We didn't get off in time.
Finish.
What's that?
When you're, shut up.
No, when you're, I've finished the answer before we start asking.
They're wasting.
When it comes to call.
So there was a shut up in there.
Yeah.
And shut up, Rube.
Yeah.
Hear that again.
We didn't get off in time.
Finish.
What's that?
When you're, shut up.
No, when you're, I've got to finish the answer before we start asking.
They're wasting.
So that was a shut up, Rube. I heard that clearly.
Wow. Yeah.
So the person being told to shut up was Ruben Frank. Are you able to tell us who told him to shut up?
Yeah, I think it's fair. It was John McMullen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So McMullen did not want another step over.
No.
Did not want another step over. Wow.
Tense times.
Yeah. Did it feel
so
tense
interesting
in the
dynamic
room?
Is, yeah. Like, to get a question in there is hard down there. There's a lot of people. It's not like they pass a mic around. You basically just have to yell and talk over the person, and then whoever wins out gets it. And that's why last week with the John McMullen thing, like, I was ready to ask my
question.
You
weren't taking no for an
answer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pulled out the belt, right?
Yes.
But so I think what McMullen was doing, and somewhat understandably, was you have to time it so when Fangio is done, you start before everybody else. And that does lead to, at times, where it sounds like the guy is going to end and he doesn't. So I think McMullen jumped in thinking Fangio was over. Understandably, it happens fairly frequently.
Yeah. But it's like a false start.
And, you know.
Yeah.
So they should have penalty flags.
Yes.
You're banned from questions for a little bit you jump off sides.
But the shut up rule was aggressive.
It was
so
a lot.
So I actually thought it was like kind of, shut up, Rube. Like a friendly natured one.
Oh, good spin.
Yeah.
No,
good
I'm just being honest from being there, but obviously it did not get taken
that way.
No,
that was not a good nature. That was an I'm irritated.
Man, we're getting close to a McLean, Les Bowen punching situation. if this season keeps spiraling.
Let me ask you this, Elliot. Who would you say, exclude yourself,
mm-hmm.
who would you say are the top three at getting the question?
Well, honestly, McMullen is a clear number one. That's
really?
Why. What you don't hear in that clip of me and McMullen is I had tried twice prior and had not won. And so finally, by the third time, I was like, hold on. I'm going to go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That changes things.
Yeah, exactly. So McMullen is a clear number one, in my opinion.
Right.
Number two. I mean, McLean is very good.
Okay.
He gets his questions in.
Okay.
I don't like Tim McManus, I guess I would say. Also, like when Tim talks, you know, people.
Yeah, well, he's very good.
He is.
Yeah.
He's your favorite. Exactly. Yeah. I knew you'd be happy.
You didn't
want
to bring up Tim. We felt it in your voice.
Yeah.
I guess
you
Tim
just
McManus.
You're my favorite. You don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah. Yes. I won despite Spike's vote last year.
Well, I didn't say Tim was my favorite. I just said he's very good.
Yeah.
And he won the popular vote last year.
He did.
Well, yeah, that's not surprising.
He got the most number one votes.
Yeah. For Eagles Inside of the Year. Yeah.
Didn't get the title, though.
He did not get the title.
So
rigged election.
Speaking of Vic Fangio, we have all these injuries in the secondary. So there is safety,
yes,
and cornerback. What did Vic say is going to happen at those two positions on Friday?
Well, you got to love that Vic just says what's going to happen as opposed to right. So he said he expects Reed Blankenship to play number one. So that is a big deal because had he not been out, then you really are in trouble with the safety. So. I would assume Adoree is not going to play. He didn't say that.
So we said Reed and then who? Sidney Brown?
Oh, sorry. So it'll be Reed and Sidney Brown.
Okay.
Those will be the starting safeties.
Who's Sidney going to hurt on his own team this week?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Tough.
But it is interesting. I mean, Sidney, I don't think it's a tough spot when you go into the game like that, but I don't think he played particularly well last week. He lost the job earlier in the year. So I do wonder how long of a leash he'll have.
What other options do
we
have?
Vic brought up Andre Sam. He said he could be elevated. I'm just letting you know what he said.
Where's Lewis Seen? Wasn't he supposed to be the breakout player?
For what it's worth, Andre Sam is someone I know, like Christian Parker likes him a lot.
Oh,
so just putting it out there.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you turn the TV on Friday and you're like, who's this? That's who Andre Sam is. He's been on the team for 2 years. He's been good in training camp. Has never really gotten out there. And then at the other corner spot, I think it'll be Cooper if Adoree doesn't play. At CB2. And I think it'll be Michael Carter at nickel.
Yep.
And I do think there's a shot, though, that Cooper could move to safety if Sidney Brown is really struggling. He got a lot of reps there in training camp.
What is going on with Ja'Cory?
And then real quick, is that Keely at two? And to your point,
what's going on with Ja'Cory and Bennett?
I don't think Ja'Cory is really going to play this year.
Wow.
I mean, you figure he's behind Adoree, he's behind Cooper, he's behind Keeley because of special teams. Keeley goes up on Sundays because of that. And he's been hurt, and he came in late in training camp. So Vic was asked about him today and said, we won't really know until he gets in a game, but it's going to be tough for him to get in a game.
I'm just wondering, are we stronger with Coop in his natural position?
I agree.
Versus having him out there on that island. And I wasn't impressed with Michael Carter Sunday. I mean, first of all, you take that route on that pick play. You go, you're a DB. You're taught to go in front of the linebackers when you're running across the field. You don't run behind the linebackers. And then you knocked off Quinyon Mitchell. That's not a veteran nickel corner anticipating pick routes and everything that I would expect a veteran to know.
That's a good point.
Coop does that. Coop goes under. He makes sure he's not getting picked off. There's a signal to Quinyon as he goes over there. In, out, in, out. You got him. I got him. None of that happened. You knock off Quinyon is a big play to George Pickens, which causes Crash to come down and injure Drew Macuba.
Yeah.
So look at how many bad things happen off that play because of, to me, the route that Michael Carter II took to follow that motion across the formation.
Is that a communication thing because he hasn't been here?
Yes, because he just hasn't been here. But somebody like Coop, who's used to being out there playing with those guys and talking about those things, think back to the play last year against the Bengals when Coop made that tackle on
Jamar Chase.
Yep. That was a designed pick play to get Jamar Chase open and run Coop through traffic and get him picked off. He was able to avoid that communication, go make the big play on fourth down. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is I understand moving Coop out there. I just wonder if is that our strongest unit?
I don't like moving Coop out there. I think his game is just better suited for the middle of the field. That's why I would almost rather have him at safety and have him like come up from the safety box.
I agree with that.
I just think when you take him down the sideline, you're taking him out the middle of the field.
Yeah, he's out of the play.
And he is a great tackler. I don't think he has like the long speed. I know people think it was OPI, and arguably it was, but like CeeDee had a step on him.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they went after him. I thought that was very noteworthy too. When he went out there, the Cowboys decided they were going to go after him. So, and for what it's worth, Vic all year has really sounded like he does not want to move
Cooper. Yeah.
And I think he's doing it somewhat out of necessity, but he's been clear, like Coop is very, very good at that role.
And to your point about the tackling, this might have been, and maybe I'm wrong, but this felt like the first time there were big plays in the middle of the field. Like coming across the field.
Yeah.
You know, slant routes where guys aren't in position to make tackles. The running back.
Well, as soon as Coop went to the side, they ran it up the middle for a big game.
Everything was in the middle field. Javonte Williams, big run up the middle.
And the Bears Cooper's
closer to the action if he's by the hashes.
And the Bears receivers are not George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I do think you could put Keeley out there and keep Coop at nickel. And I think Keeley should be able to survive out there.
Well, clearly Vic doesn't
think clearly he does not.
We don't question Coach.
That's right. On your graphic that's coming out for the game. Yeah, hold on. Yeah. Move aside, you two. Okay. Hey, Elliot question. Right under the buzzer. On the graphic you put out, on the quarterback one for this week, will Caleb Williams be ahead of Jalen?
No.
Damn.
All right. No.
Where would you put him?
I don't know, Jim.
I'm not a big Caleb Williams.
He's having a good little year.
I think he's a future league MVP.
I think Caleb's going to be good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Benny.
I actually think this Bears team reminds me a lot of the 2021 Eagles.
That's a good marriage. Ben Johnson.
Yeah, but they throw the ball.
That's good for Caleb Williams. He has
They don't throw it a ton, I don't think. They're like top seven in the league in run attempts.
Yeah, come on, Jack.
Yeah.
All right.
Do a little homework.
All right. You can get the Go Birds. Thank you, Elliot.
I have no interest, actually.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you, yeah.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you... Is there going to be an ESPN tomorrow night?
There's not because of...
The Turkey Bowl.
Yeah, Turkey Bowl.
Dude, you got bumped for the Turkey Bowl? Well,
hey.
I mean, that's insulting.
Huge game.
Yeah.
The
Audubon versus somebody.
Well, you can get versus somebody.
Wow.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast, including the Free Odyssey app. Comes out every day. Get your little Eagles update in the morning from Elliot, and then get the pods right after the games as well.
No Eagles update.
Well, it's a smaller pod.
It's a good way to start your day.
Yeah, it's a 30.
Get all the news you need and all my takes.
Anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes. Yeah. It's somewhere in
last week gave you 30 minutes on why Jalen's bigger than the Eagles.
Yes.
The hell does that mean?
That's the type of stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I think he's bigger than the Eagles.
That's why you got to subscribe. Yeah. Dude, you ask why I listen? That's why I listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Elliot. Great job.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And great job breaking down the media controversy.
Yeah, thank you.
I am aware it's a difficult spot for you. I don't care, but yeah, I am aware.
Well, that's clear. Yes.
Yeah. And I appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy Thanksgiving, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. 215-592-9494. Sheila Kapadia joins us next for a very special Tuesday edition. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This Thanksgiving, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is introducing a brand new way to build a parlay together. Now, it's called Pass the Leg. Here's how it works. Start a group build, add your pick, then pass it to your friends so they can add theirs. Now, when everyone's done, you each lock in a group parlay with your own funds because football is better when it's played and bet together. And to make it even better for you, everyone gets a 50% profit boost to use to build. Now, grab your crew, start your build, and get in on the action this Thanksgiving with Pass the Leg. Visit FanDuel.com/Ike to get started. FanDuel, play your game. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.